The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition.
Ready, set, go!
And the truth shall set you free!
Welcome to One Life Radio.
We are indeed going higher. Welcome, everyone, to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Jerry Caldwell. We are broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. Jerry.
That's me.
Jerry. How you doing?
I am all right. How are you?
I'm good. You know I have a brother, Jerry.
Oh, you do?
I do. Yeah, I told you that. I have a brother, Jerry.
That's a good name.
His real name is Jerome. Your real name is Jerry, though, right? Because you're a Texas guy.
Yes. My mother was very Jerry Dean. That's right.
Jerry Dean, the dance machine. Can you dance?
Not well. Okay. I will always give it my all, but it's, you know, arms and legs everywhere.
Yeah. Well, arms and legs everywhere. You dropped that sentence. Was there something else to add to it?
that's all you're going to get.
That's it?
I mean,
that's all you're going to get. Well, you know, I love that. I do. And that's okay. You know, not everybody knows how to dance. It's about self-expression at the end of the day and just having fun with it and not really caring what other people think. You know, remember the story I told a couple of weeks ago? I think you were on the air with us then about Larry Dudley when I was a kid at the high school dances. And he would dance like a Tasmanian devil, but everybody loved him. I was always inspired by his ability to express himself and not care what other people thought about how he moved his body.
Well, I'm a 90s club kid, so that's kind of the same thing
kid.
For me.
Yeah. Well, you know, I read this article today, and I want to share it before we get into the topic that we're discussing today, which is infertility, causes, and treatments. Ayla Barmer, she is a registered dietitian, nutritionist, functional medicine practitioner, and the founder and CEO of Full Well, a fertility, wellness, and education brand. Ayla, I'd like to bring you in now, if that's okay, because I'd like to share this article with you. How are you today?
Hi, great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. It's always great to have you. Thank you. I saw this article today and I thought it was so inspiring and so many people miss out on this. It says, choosing a good day. The ideas you focus on impact your thoughts and your life. And it starts out by talking about mindset matters and that focus, whether you focus on the positive or a negative, imagine being your day being committed to jotting down all the good things that you can encounter or that you encounter throughout the day. You would find yourself suddenly noticing all sorts of otherwise ordinary yet decidedly positive things. I just think it's important for everyone out there listening to be appreciative of even the little things. Little things like being able to stand up at your sink and do the dishes instead of complaining that you have to do the dishes. What do you think about that, you guys?
I think absolutely. We know that practicing gratitude can have a trickle effect into so many aspects of your life and your health. You know, mm-hmm. It can actually really rewire your habits and your neurotransmitters and have a really positive influence. I think it can get a little extreme today, we can't be positive all the time, but the idea of practicing gratitude can have a positive effect on your health.
Well, yeah, and the health of others around you. You know, that's the second part of this article. And it says impact on those around you. It's something that you need to ask yourself, that a person who can focus their mind in a positive direction, will go through life uplifting the people around them. They'll maintain a sense of optimism and believe that they can accomplish the things that they set out to do. They feel compassion for others and will look upon life in a broad-minded way, acting as a shining light of hope to all who enter their sphere of influence. I just love that. I love talking about positive things. There's a lot of negativity in the world right now, and I just think that we need to choose to have a good day every day if we can. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, that makes me think about how important it is for humans to have a village and be connected, you know,
yes.
And that's actually really important for fertility at all stages of it as well. So.
Oh, wow. Well, that's what we're going to talk about today. And that's actually a great segue. Let me officially read your whole bio, Ayla, because I think it's important that people, I got to give you your street cred that you've worked so hard to earn. So Ayla Barmer is, as I said, a registered dietitian, nutritionist, functional medicine practitioner, and the founder and CEO of Full Well, a fertility, wellness, and education brand. Barmer earned her undergraduate degree in dietetics and completed her dietetic internship at the University of Connecticut. She earned a Master's of Science in Health Communications from Boston University and has additional training in clinical nutrition, functional medicine, women's health, herbal medicine, and holistic and integrative therapies. She is a mother, clinician, and a highly sought-after speaker, educator, and expert on nutrition for fertility, pregnancy, immune health, and digestive health. You can find, I always want to call you doctor. We'll make you a doctor for right now. Dr. Barmer, I'm just kidding. But you can find Ayla Barmer at fullwellfertility.com. That's fullwellfertility.com or on Facebook and Instagram at fullwellfertility. And that's what we're talking about, fertility causes and treatments. So when you were on the show just a few weeks ago, Ayla, we focused on the rise of male infertility and how diet and lifestyle changes can aid infertility. So today we're expanding on the conversation to include female infertility issues. And is male fertility more common than female infertility? And if so, why? So let's talk about it.
Yes. So I would say that for listeners, this may be surprising. We talked about this last time, but infertility is generally viewed as a women's health issue. We've really put that squarely on women's shoulders, but in reality, it's equally both. So it's not more of a male factor issue or female factor issue. And to put that into perspective with statistics, we know that 30% of infertility issues are due or can be attributed primarily to male factors, 30% primarily to female factors, and then there's this remaining bucket of 40%, and that's categorized as unexplained infertility, which tends to mean a combination of both male and female factors. So it really is a shared issue, despite the fact that men are really left out of the equation usually, or they're brought in as having or thought of as having one role, which is fertilization. And in reality, men's health actually affects the health of the pregnancy as well and baby's long-term health. So when we talk about fertility, it goes actually beyond struggling to conceive. And actually, I like to think about it as the ultimate preventative medicine, because what we do to support our fertility will affect future generations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so interesting. We know so much more now than we ever did. You know, when I was pondering this topic today, as I actually had to drive to go get some brown sugar right before the show started, I decided to make pumpkin muffins. You would love the recipe too, Ayla, you know, with fresh coconut oil and organic pumpkin. And I chose to use some really good sprouted flours and so on. But those are the kind of choices that really do make a difference in your nutrition. Yes, you can. The recipe had a little bit more sugar than I, you know, might use myself, but I'm going to gift them away. I'm going to put them in little packages, and I like to do stuff like that and give it to people. But, you know, I was pondering this. So I had a problem with infertility at one time, and it was really weird. And then, so I did a in vitro fertilization. Isn't that what they call it? The IVF, right? In vitro?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. And anyway, it didn't work. And then so I just kind of let it go and then just ended up pregnant again without even trying. And it's kind of funny. And so I'm asking you this. This is what I think. I think it was because I was not emotionally or ready mentally ready to have a baby at that time. I was experiencing problems in the relationship, and I, you know, thought, you know, I just think like it's so innate in us that there are, as you said, you know, 30%, 35, or it's basically 30-30-30, right? It's the male, the female, or it's outside sources that are unidentified. Is that kind of what you said?
Right. 30-30-40. Yep.
30-30-40.
So a combination of both male and female factors. Yes.
And is that a factor, whether or not, you know, because I know other people that have talked about, you know, had experiences like this, not just me, and then go on to have a baby when they're not concerned about it or obsessed with it or worrying about it or not having a difficulty in that marriage.
Yeah. So I think, first of all, I always trust, you know, the intuition of the person who's sitting in front of me, you know, and I have always taken that approach in practice for years, because you know your body best. If you listen to that intuition, I think it really does speak to you. But you know, one of the ways that I describe fertility is it's by biological design. It really is going to be the last thing that our body prioritizes. You know, I mean, if mm-hmm. resources are needed for anything else in the body, that's where they're going to be shuttled to. And that's just for survival, you know? And mm-hmm. so I think it comes down to, is the environment in all of the different ways signaling that this is, that your body is ready for a baby, that it will be successful? Are resources not being diverted elsewhere by other needs in the body? And that's a lot of my approach, is trying to figure out if there are fertility challenges, what else could be going on, you know, that is requiring more nutrients or antioxidants or, you know, interfering with hormone production? What is the underlying root cause? And so I think it absolutely can come down to, I mean, we know that stress can mean a lot of different things, and mm-hmm. stressors, that giant bucket, impact fertility. So our reproductive health will be kind of downregulated, so to speak, if there are a number of stressors, whether that's psychological, physical, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think you can force anything. And I think you have to follow the universe and Mother Nature. And when your body's ready to reproduce, it will, whatever the factor is. But it does, of course, you have to, that's the first thing you need to address, as we talked about last time, is your nutrition. And because it does have an impact on it. I'm looking at the clock and we're going to go for our quick break. More coming up with Ayla Barmer. We are talking about infertility causes and treatments. Stay tuned, everyone. You are listening to One Life Radio.
Follow us on social media
at One Life Radio.
Back with more positivity pouring out your speakers. It's One Life Radio.
Everyone. Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Jerry Caldwell and Ayla Barmer. We are continuing our live broadcast here from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. If you're just now joining us, Ayla Barmer is a Master of Science registered dietitian and a licensed dietitian nutritionist. We are talking about infertility causes and treatments. So Ayla, you know, we've all heard about a woman biological clock ticking, but is it really true, and is it the same for men?
So it is true that there is a biological clock. I think when we think of that phrase, that age-old phrase, we do attribute it to women, but it's also true for men. So I will say that it starts younger for women, and I'm going to give some statistics, but I want to just preface this by saying, while there is a decline in fertility as we age, and it starts a little earlier than we might think, I've been doing this for over 15 years, and there are so many things that you can do to improve your chances of conceiving at any age. And so I think that there's a little too much overemphasis on age in the fertility community and the need mm-hmm. for interventions once you get to a certain point. So I'd like to, you know, we'll definitely get to, I'm sure, some of the things that both women and men can do to help support, despite their age, you know, their fertility, so that this feels optimistic. But in terms of, you know, for statistics, you know, women are most fertile in their 20s, and starting at age 32, fertility does decline. And at 35, it starts declining a little faster. Over age 40, it starts becoming significantly more difficult to conceive. Now, for men, that really starts more at age 45 and up. And mm-hmm. some of these numbers are a little different depending on the research that you look at, but I would say again that what the causes of that decline in fertility are a couple of different things, some of which we can control and some of which we can't. So the aspect that is more difficult to control is the declining production of hormones. So DHEA is a hormone that is the precursor to all of our reproductive hormones, and that declines for women and men as we age, which can result in lower quality, you know, eggs and sperm, which mm-hmm. is really important, in a phrase that you hear in the fertility world quite a bit, is quality of the egg and the sperm, because that can lead to problems conceiving or to pregnancy complications. But mm-hmm. the other thing that can impact things that fertility as one ages is the cumulative effect of stressors. And that's a little bit more in our control. Now, not everything, but there are ways that we can help reduce the stressors that are in our environment, on our bodies, by really trying to flood the body with the right stuff. So it's a time to really focus on nourishment, you know, and good sleep habits and physical activity and, you know, the things that we can control so that we can improve our chances as best as possible.
Yeah. When you talk about the quality of egg and sperm, this popped into my head, and I'm sure you're well-versed on it. What about birth control? Does it have any effect on the quality and also your reproductive system after you get off of it?
The biggest concern from my perspective around hormonal birth control is that, like many medications, most medications, it does deplete nutrients. And in the case of hormonal birth control, it actually happens to deplete really key fertility nutrients. So I have always advised, so vitamin B12, folate, magnesium, things that we really need to be in good supply right at the very early stages, at the very beginning of pregnancy, before you even know you're pregnant. So that's when some of those nutrients are so important for neural tube development. So listeners may have heard of neural tube defects, and there's a wide range of things that fall in that category. And there's nutrients like folate and choline, to name a few, B12, vitamin B12, that are really important in helping for the proper formation of the neural tube. And that happens by week 5 of pregnancy, which is crazy because that's actually just 5 weeks since your last missed period, right? So that might be before you've even taken a test. So the biggest concern is really coming off of hormonal birth control and trying to go directly into trying to conceive and not ensuring that you've worked on repleting some of those vitamin and mineral deficiencies, potential deficiencies.
Yeah, that in itself could cause issues, right? For infertility issues. I mean, because if your body is very depleted, as you said, in C and B12 and magnesium, all the things that you named, and I'm sure there's a lot more, that has to affect your ability to conceive.
It does. Fertility and overall reproductive health is a really nutrient-intensive process. I mean, we need vitamins and minerals, not just to feel good, but to help the mitochondria in our cells, the batteries of our cells, to actually function properly. We need it in every process throughout the body. We need it to support and protect the developing eggs before and sperm before fertilization. It doesn't come just into play once you're pregnant and for baby's needs. It's actually for proper hormone development and balance. It's for really preparing your body, you know, for pregnancy.
Yeah. Well, so at what age are men and women, you already said what age men and women are most fertile. Is there a lot of variance depending upon ethnicity?
That's a good question, and I don't think that that has been fully studied per my research, not to the extent at which we would really want to see it. In fact, there's fairly good research around fertility, mostly because we see studies done with those undergoing assisted reproductive technology, so, you know, IVF, IUI, things like that, and so they're able to do those studies. But I don't see a lot of differentiation between race, though there are some good studies looking at the U.S. population.
Interesting. This is all very interesting. It is, so what should women, and men too, avoid doing to increase fertility? Or should we talk about them separately? Or are they very much the same things that both men and women should avoid?
There's definitely overlap. And then there's one thing I'd love to point out that's more specific to women. And maybe we could start with that because it's really common. So one of the reasons I got into fertility work was because back when I was really starting as a young dietitian, I was getting a lot of referrals from a local IVF clinic of just women, never their male partners, being told that they needed to lose weight as fast as they could, as much as they could, or else they're at risk of having their IVF cycles canceled. And so obviously tons of stress, a lot of pressure. A lot of times these women's BMI was only slightly out of range, but this was really the guidelines at the time, and it hasn't changed a whole lot. I would say that a lot of the recommendations.
Jerry, did we lose her?
Trying to really aggressively lose weight. And so something that I see happen a lot is women who are over-exercising and under-eating. And that can, even if that's being done for in the best of intentions, right, an effort to go into pregnancy healthy, what can happen is if we are consuming too few calories or less than what we're burning, our metabolism starts to kind of turn down and slow down. And that's just by design. And it's kind of like our whole thermostat in the body turns down. And our metabolism, once that turns down, it actually will turn down, it talks to our reproductive system and it will turn down reproductive function.
Wow.
So it's not a great idea for a lot of reasons, but that's one of them, to try to like aggressively lose weight, you know, before pregnancy or for fertility purposes. So that's one thing that I think is actually more common than we give it credit for, because I have seen it so much in practice. Other things, though, that I would recommend that both men and women pay attention to are chemical and heavy metal exposure. You know, the reality is we are exposed to more environmental chemicals and pollutants today than any other time in history. There are places that this can be an overwhelming area to try to make changes in, and it could be really expensive, but there are big bang for your buck type things to focus on that can have a really big impact. And one of those areas, there's actually two I'll mention. The first is hormone disrupting chemicals that are usually in fragrance products. So think air fresheners, the wall plugins, the car air fresheners, colognes and perfumes, all the hair products, personal care products. So I think look at the things that you're using most frequently and pick those first, right? And see if you can swap those out with safer options. That can have a big impact on reducing your phthalate exposure, which is a known hormone disruptor.
Oh, yeah. And they're everywhere. I mean, Febreze is a good example of that. And the ones that the air fresheners, the ones that blow out through your car, you know, you put them on the, you know, I don't have one, but I have a car. I don't have the fresheners, but you know what I'm talking about? And so many people just, they don't know. They don't know what they don't know. And it could be something, you know, I was speaking with a doctor back a couple of months ago, and there was a patient that she had that just had this, was very toxic, and they couldn't figure out where lead was coming from. Okay. I think it was lead. Maybe it was something else, but I think it was lead. And this woman had worn this beautiful bright red lipstick for years and years and years. And make a long story short, they sent the lipstick off to be tested, and that was the culprit. But so many people don't know, right? I don't know if they still put lead in lipstick. Do you think they do? Maybe in other countries? And I don't know. I should have maybe researched it.
There still is a huge issue with lipstick and in general beauty products and makeup. A lot of, I think there's the thought that a lot of this is really highly regulated and that a lot of testing is happening on these products. And unfortunately, that's not the case. And yeah, as you mentioned, I think anyone listening, if you've got one, I will say I can't overemphasize the importance of like going and tossing that little car plug in that blows the fragrance in your car.
Yeah.
Maybe do like a little essential oil diffuse or something like that. But that's a really important one to swap out.
Oh yeah, no, I'm such a nut. I won't get in somebody's car or an Uber that has that. I'm like, I'm sorry. I know you're going to think I'm crazy. I'm happy to pay a fee, but I'm not getting in this car. It hasn't happened in a while, but I mean, you have to be kind of that nutty about it because they are so toxic, especially if you're suffering from infertility, because they do wreak havoc on your hormones. Ayla, I'm looking at the clock. We're going to go for a quick break. I am so enjoying this conversation. You are incredibly knowledgeable. Such a pleasure to speak with you. More coming up with Ayla Barmer. We're talking about infertility, causes, and treatment. Stay tuned, everyone. You are listening to One Life Radio.
You're listening to One Life Radio. Make sure you check out our podcast and get to know the show at oneliferadio.com.
Want to advertise on One Life Radio? Send us an email, info@oneliferadio.com.
It's time to nourish your mind and your body at the Weston A. Price Foundation Wise Traditions Conference, October 21st through the 23rd in Knoxville, Tennessee. The Weston A. Price Foundation is dedicated to restoring nutrient-dense foods to our diets. At the conference, you'll taste delicious and nutritious foods and hear all the healing wisdom of over 30 impressive speakers, including Dr. Tom Cowan, Tommy John, Dr. Kelly Brogan, Catherine Austin Fitz, and many others. Go to wisetraditions.org to register for the conference that nourishes you in every way. That's wisetraditions.org. I'll see you there. Everyone. Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Jerry Caldwell and Ayla Barmer. We are continuing our live broadcast here from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. Ayla Barmer is a Master of Science, registered dietitian, and licensed dietitian nutritionist. She is the founder and CEO of Full Well, a fertility wellness and education brand. She earned her undergraduate degree in dietetics and completed her dietetic internship at the University of Connecticut. She earned a Master's of Science in Health Communications from Boston University and has additional training in clinical nutrition, functional medicine, women's health, herbal medicine, and holistic and integrative therapies. She is a mother, clinician, and highly sought-after speaker, educator, and expert on nutrition for fertility, pregnancy, immune health, and digestive health. Her website is fullwellfertility.com. That's Full Well Fertility, or Facebook and Instagram, Full Well Fertility. Such a pleasure to have Ayla with us, and we're talking about infertility causes and treatments. And so, you know, Ayla, what should we were talking about what should women and men avoid to increase fertility. Is there anything else that you want to get out about that particular part of this conversation before we move on?
Yeah, you know, I would say another really easy area to help avoid some toxin exposure, which can have a negative impact on fertility, would be in the plastic use. Now, we all live in environments where there is absolutely no way to completely avoid plastic. But if you can avoid heating your food in plastic, I mean, that's one of the first things that I tell any fertility patient that I work with in practice is let's at least try to not microwave our food or reheat it in plastic. And that can really help with, even if it's BPA-free plastic, because they are, and a lot of us know and see that on labels. And but the problem is we don't really with it. So I would suggest that, as well as trying to reduce other real burdens on the body, like alcohol and smoking of various kinds, to try to, again, reduce the number of stressors and things that your body has to use nutrients and antioxidants to process, because that takes those resources away from protecting egg and sperm and overall fertility.
What about genetically modified organisms, you know, and crops, you know, whose seeds have been altered in labs and been injected with substances like hormones, antibiotics, and pesticides to resist disease and drought? What do you think about GMOs?
Yeah, so the real issue with genetic modification is that the primary reason for genetic modification is to make them more pesticide tolerant, so to speak. And so my concern is the use of glyphosate and glyphosate residue and some of the other pesticides on GMO crops are more likely. So it's less about the genetic modification, although, because I think the jury's out a little bit with the research on that, but the pesticides that will then be used because it's been genetically modified and really for that purpose, that's what we know. We have hard science on as being problematic for not just fertility, but many aspects of health, those are chemicals we definitely want to avoid. And we know that glyphosate in particular has a direct impact on fertility.
You know, I was mentioning earlier the amount of sugar that was in the muffins. I kind of cut back on it about, you know, using maple sugar or maple syrup. You can use a lot of different things, monk fruit, stevia, to sweeten things, because sugar is really a toxin, isn't it, Ayla?
Well, I think it just depends. You know, it's something that I think could be in balance, and it really depends on the person. So first of all, I really encourage trying to balance your blood sugars. And that's important whether or not you're a diabetic or you, even if you have normal labs, you know, it's important for everybody to have balanced blood sugars. And what that really looks like is trying to focus on meals that have protein and produce and, mm-hmm. you know, some good fats. And so plenty of protein and produce and then, you know, your carbohydrates. And in that context, you know, some sugar is not going to be hugely problematic, like in your muffins,
yeah.
right? I mean,
right.
there's the sugar, but there's also the coconut oil. There's the pumpkin,
right.
you know, so that really helps balance it out. And also there's antioxidants there. So it's really about the context. But when we are grazing on simple carbohydrates like sugars and things mm-hmm. like that, or skipping meals, that's a stressor on our body. And we're creating we can create insulin resistance. There's actually insulin receptors on the ovaries and all over our body, but for both men and women. And so there's really no part of our body that's not going to be impacted by blood sugar dysregulation.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that we need to upgrade our snacks. I mean, the less junky food you eat, the more sensitive, I think, and subtle your taste buds become, you know, without the onslaught of heavily salted and artificially flavored foods, fatted up foods. Those are all things that can cause cravings, right? And overeating. It's good to eat a lot of raw food, don't you think? Like raw almonds and raw walnuts and cashews and things like that.
Well, I do think that, you know, yeah, you lose the sweetness of, like, the natural sweetness of a blueberry when you're, you know, eating more, like, Skittles, so to speak, right?
Yeah, because,
you know, your taste buds kind of can't really detect how sweet that blueberry really is, and
right.
So that's a really good point. In mm-hmm. terms of raw, I mean, it really depends on the food because, I mean, tomatoes have lycopene in them that's more bioavailable when it's cooked, and lycopene is actually really supportive for men's sperm health, really all parameters. So it kind of depends on the food.
Yeah. Well, I was talking mostly about nuts, no pun intended, since we're talking about fertility. I thought that might make you laugh, Jerry. I knew it would. I knew Jerry. Jerry is 9 years old, really, in actuality. His sense of humor. but yeah, I was talking about nuts and mostly because we're so used, again, you know, when you buy nuts in a store, they've got salt and they're roasted and they've got sugar on them and they got all the stuff. Beautiful. I mean, nuts don't need all that. They taste delicious. You can roast them a little bit in the oven to bring out more of the flavors. But I mean, we're so used to overprocessing foods. I think it really gets us into trouble.
Yeah, I would agree. If we kind of go back to our grandma skills in some ways, as we can living in our modern environment and eating the whole real food, it's absolutely going to benefit us, you know, mm-hmm. and that's the thing about supporting fertility and health at all levels. It's really kind of coming back to basics. It doesn't have to be complicated. That real whole foods, the less processed, the better. That's a huge step in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
And it's less about restriction and more about like more of the right things. That's what I always like to try to encourage.
Yeah. Well, and a bad diet can cause depression. I was just thinking about that. And I know it wasn't something that we were going to talk about, but I just had the thought, can depression affect your ability to conceive?
Well, I think, you know, depression can be a symptom, a real diagnosable condition, of course, of something else going on in the body. And so as a functional medicine trained practitioner, I always like to try to get to the root cause of what mm-hmm. symptoms are. And all of those root causes, when you get to the root causes and resolve those, and so depression would be indicative of something else going on. And it's this way with fertility too. You know, these are symptoms that are bubbling up, but what's going on deeper? And if we can get at that, then it's going to have an impact on all mm-hmm. areas of the body.
Yeah. I was just thinking, you know, how they always ask that question about anything, but is depression causing the infertility? Is the infertility caused by the depression, kind of? Because depression can be very powerful, and a lot of it is connected mm-hmm. to your diet and what you eat and your brain not getting the proper nutrients. That's one of the things I love, you know, talking with you about on the show. You're so highly trained as a nutritionist and as well as a fertility wellness expert, but it's important that you look at everything if you're not able to conceive, right? Like every aspect of your life?
It is. It really is. And I think there's a lot of trained practitioners that do this work and I think can help you prioritize because it can be rather overwhelming. But yeah, mm-hmm. it's a body in good balance you can't control everything, right? There are things mm-hmm. that go back generations, right? Like what our grandparents did that are influencing our fertility now and our health now. And this is why I get so excited about fertility in particular, because if we focus on our health before conceiving, that will impact our grandchildren, our future generations, you know, and their mm-hmm. health. Mm-hmm. So it's the ultimate preventative medicine. Whereas we're in a current model where it's just treat the symptoms as they arise, when we have this amazing opportunity to impact our family through generations, you know, now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So much to know about this. You know what? Let's go for another break. Get that out of the way. When we come back, we'll be full steam ahead with Ayla Barmer. Our top pick today is infertility, causes and treatments. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. You are listening to One Life Radio.
Follow us on social media at One Life Radio. We're back. More of One Life Radio starts now.
Everyone, welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Jerry Caldwell and Ayla Barmer. We are continuing our live broadcast here from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. We are talking about infertility causes and treatments with Ayla Barmer. She is a Master of Science, registered dietitian, and licensed dietitian nutritionist. Okay, so Ayla, once pregnant, what type of nutrients should women be supplementing with to improve their diet and their overall health of the baby? And I want to add to that, even before they become pregnant, like we discussed at the opening of this broadcast.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm so glad you asked this question, because the nutrients that I'm going to talk about are surprisingly not found in correct amounts or even at all in most prenatal multivitamins. So there's a real risk of women not getting these important nutrients. So one of them is choline. So choline is not talked about very often. It's sometimes thought of as a B vitamin, but it's really not in the B vitamin family. 90 to 95% of women are not even meeting just the adequate intake level, which is like the bare minimum. And we know that actually that adequate intake level should probably be doubled based on more current research. And so just about everybody is not getting in enough choline. And that's a pretty big statement. And so choline's found in the food supply, in mostly animal foods. Mm-hmm. Egg yolks are mm-hmm. a potent source, but you need a lot of eggs a day in order to meet your needs. So it really requires eating a variety of animal foods. So vegans and vegetarians are really at risk for mm-hmm. not getting enough choline. So choline is one of those nutrients that I think is really important to not only look, really pay special attention to in the diet, but also to make sure is in your prenatal multivitamin. I recommend a few hundred milligrams. 300 milligrams is a great supplemental amount to the average intake in our diets. And you'll see that most prenatals don't contain that because it's a really large nutrient and it winds mm-hmm. up taking up a lot of capsule space. So if your prenatal is like a one a day or a gummy, you can almost be certain that mm-hmm. it doesn't have choline or has hardly any. Well, so that's one.
Okay. No, continue. Remind me, I want to ask you about the eyes of the baby, because choline. Did we lose her, Jerry? We had some connection problems earlier. Okay, all right. Well, so what I was going to ask Ayla while Jerry's getting her back on the line is about choline. I could Google it here real quick on my computer, but I'm pretty sure that choline is it's found in eggs. I knew that, but I think it's got to do, there's something about eyesight, I think, and the health of your eyes with choline. I'm going to try to look it up here real quick because I don't know where to go with this. Let's see. Okay. I don't know if I'm spelling it right. Oh my gosh. Let's see. I think I know how to spell it. Let's see. Okay. What is choline good for?
All right. She's back.
Is she back? Okay.
Great. No
worries. It actually was kind of fun. I had to, you know, be Johnny on the spot there or burn it down.
Talk about Colleen.
Because I'm so, I get all these thoughts in my head because I'm constantly reading stuff, but I can't retain everything. But isn't Colleen related to eye health? Am I wrong about that?
Colleen, lutein is a little, what you're saying, that it's a little bit more closely related to eye health, but choline is involved in neurological health. It really is involved in so many processes in the body. It's really important for neural tube formation, and that's critical. So like neural tube defects, which are usually we hear about that talked about in conjunction with folate or folic acid, but choline is actually really, really important too. But there's been studies now that look at children, have followed children of mothers who either did or didn't receive enough choline in pregnancy through age 7 now, and they see significant differences in mental acuity and IQ and just cognition overall. So it plays a big role.
Wow, it does play a big role. So let's continue though. What are some other vital nutrients that women should be supplementing with to improve their diet and overall health of the baby? And also, I don't normally do this, but what is your recommendation? If someone out there is listening, what do you think is the best prenatal vitamin out there for them to consume?
Yes. Well, I will say that, you know, as a practitioner, I looked at the formulas on the market and what I was using with my practice patients, and I thought none of these are really evidence-based. I can't find the formula that I want that is evidence-based, has the doses of nutrients and the forms that you want that are bioavailable, you know, and usable by your body. And so I created one thinking that I would just use it with my practice clients. That is a product of Full Well, and it really has just grown organically because people have done so well with it since then. But really, it started as a way for me to get exactly the formula that I wanted and to also understand the manufacturing process behind it. Jump back in, so Full Well prenatal is the one that I stand behind because I know. Okay. I know our quality standards.
Well, there you go. I love that. What a great entrepreneurial story. You know, necessity is the mother, no pun intended, of invention, right? And so you came up with it on your own. I think that's absolutely wonderful. And people can find it on your website at fullwellfertility.com, correct?
Yes.
All right. You go, girl. I love it. Okay. So, what are some other nutrients that women should be supplementing with besides choline?
So vitamin D is also really important, and I mention that because you will see it in a number of multivitamins, but in negligible amounts. You really are looking for a minimum of 4,000 IUs, and while we don't have randomized clinical control trials, the best of the best kind of clinical research around every nutrient in pregnancy, we do for vitamin D. It is the most well-studied nutrient that we have, and we know that 4,000 IUs is the minimum that is needed to keep mom and baby's level just sufficient, you know, not necessarily optimal, but sufficient at birth. And so that vitamin D level is really important no matter where you live. So even if you're in a sunny climate, they looked at people all over different areas of geographically. And a lot of this is because we just don't live in nomadic tribes anymore. We wear clothes, we wear sunscreen. And so this is a really important vitamin D. I would also say magnesium. There's a lot of options to highlight, but magnesium is just, there's nothing that magnesium doesn't really positively influence or play a role in, and deficiency is incredibly common. We need more of it in pregnancy.
Absolutely. I increased my magnesium a lot when I was pregnant, especially my first one. And it also helps to assist in delivery. So does vitamin C, if I'm not mistaken, because it loosens everything up, if you will, right? And anything that's not functioning well in your body, because if I'm not mistaken, magnesium is critical in over 325 enzymatic functions in the human body. Am I right about that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it's just about every it's needed at a cellular level throughout the body, and mm-hmm. I would say double check and make sure that the form of the magnesium is not you're specific on that too. Magnesium glycinate is very well tolerated, very easy for the body to utilize, whereas the cheaper types of forms of magnesium are magnesium oxide, mm-hmm. which has more of a laxative effect and is also very difficult to for your body to utilize. So there are better mm-hmm. better forms than others when it comes to magnesium. Mm-hmm. And around 300 milligrams is in line with the evidence.
Do you agree with it? It's better. I've always I used to be in the flotation business, and I was told and have read it as well that the best way to absorb magnesium is through the derma or through the skin. Do you agree with that?
I wouldn't say it's the best way, but I think it's a really good complementary way, you know, mm-hmm, to, mm-hmm. and it kind of depends on what you're trying to achieve, you know, so
yeah.
there has been some research, but not great research around how well that magnesium really winds up making it into the bloodstream, you know, versus taking it orally. However, it absolutely makes it to the tissues and is absorbed to some degree and has that benefit, right? So I think that you'd want a dual approach. And so, you know, I love those flotation tanks, but, you know, you can do Epsom salt baths at home,
right,
or a magnesium lotion too.
Mm-hmm. So glad that you brought that up. And I know the music's going to start any second here because I got the 2-minute warning, just like a football game. I love having you on the show. We didn't get to a lot of it. I hope you'll come back. This is an important subject, and we always, you know, will, you know, go off the path a little bit and talk about so many things that are so important for overall health, right?
Yes, and happy to do that. I always love talking nutrition, so yeah. I would love to be back if you've got another topic we'd like to talk about.
Absolutely. All right. Well, thank you so much, Ayla, and have a great rest of your week. Thank you so much for jumping on the air with us today.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Everyone, I hope you enjoyed the show. I'm ready to go down and check on my pumpkin muffins. Can't wait. I just love to bake and cook, especially in the fall. It's my favorite time of year. And I hope you're out there enjoying this beautiful weather, everyone, because you get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there today and make some muffins.